And welcome to our service here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the Psalms, Psalm 116. We're going to study this chapter a little bit more this evening. We began this morning by stressing from verse number 7, the rest. There is a rest for the people of God. And let's read verse number 7 and then we'll pray and see what God has for us this evening. Psalm 116, verse number 7. The author of this chapter said, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to study your word, and we ask now that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. O God, meet each one at that point of need, we pray. We ask in the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. Amen. All of us go through seasons when we don't experience that rest in the Lord. Now, we stress this morning that note the wording there in verse number 7, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul." In order for there to be a return, there needs to be a possession. There needs to be a possession of rest. And the psalmist speaks to himself. He preaches to himself the word of God, and he said, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul." And every now and again, you and I need to preach to ourselves. Don't underestimate the importance of pulling out the word of God, so to speak, in our minds and preaching to ourselves truth and to knock some sense back into our minds in a spiritual sense. And this is what this psalmist does. He said, "Return, return unto thy rest, O my soul." Now, in order to return, you must possess. And we stressed this morning that there in Hebrews 4, verse 9, it talks about there is a rest for the children of God, for the people of God. And it's by faith in Jesus Christ as Savior that we can enjoy positionally that rest in Christ. Jesus said, "I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, and you will find rest unto your soul." Rest unto your soul. And he, the psalmist, cries out, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul." The soul, the mind, the will and emotions. So positionally we can possess that rest in Christ. And that's applied to a person's life by faith in Jesus Christ. And my friend, this evening, if you've yet to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you will never experience rest on this side of eternity. But if you want the peace of God and the calmness of God and the joy of God in your soul, it comes in the person of Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. So where there is peace, there is rest. They go hand in hand. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there needs to be that possession of rest positionally in Christ. There needs to be a relationship with Christ. And then we stress this morning there from Hebrews chapter 3 and leading into Hebrews chapter 4 that it's unbelief that removes that sense of rest. It's unbelief. And the opposite of unbelief is faith. Faith in what God has spelled out in His eternal word. And the psalmist here in verse 7 cries out, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul." And all of us as Christians go through seasons when we don't experience that rest in Christ. It seems like that rest is replaced with turmoil, apprehension, anxiety, restlessness, confusion. God calls us to return. God calls us to return. And we do this by preaching to ourselves the Word of God. And as we place our faith in the Word of God, not in our feelings, not in our circumstances, that rest will return. And this was the heart cry of this psalmist, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul." O soul, O mind, will, and emotions, once upon a time you understood what rest was all about, and I think we need to return back to that place of rest. It comes with faith in the Word of God. And then verse 7 goes on to read, "For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee," and we stress this morning concerning the fact that it is faith in God's Word that will enable us to have that rest restored on a practical level once again. And the psalmist calls his soul to return to that rest through faith in what God has said. And note the word Lord there in verse 7, "For the Lord." We must refocus upon the greatness of our God. That's where we begin. If we want to be restored in that tranquility and rest and enjoy once again that peace of God that passes all understanding, we must refocus on the greatness of our God. Because often we feel unrest and anxiety because our eyes are focused upon our circumstances, our difficulties, and whatever it might be, and we take our eyes off the Lord. And note then, verse number 5, "Gracious is the Lord." God is gracious, beloved. We need to focus on the greatness of God, that God is gracious. He's not cruel, He's gracious. The Bible talks about the exceeding grace of God. He's also righteous in verse 5. God does everything right. God makes no mistakes. And what God has allowed in your life is no mistake. God makes no mistake. He is righteous. And note then verse 5, He is merciful. He is compassionate. See, we need to refocus on the greatness of our God. That's how we have that rest restored. "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord." Who is this Lord? Well, He's gracious. He's righteous. He's merciful. And then the psalmist goes on to read, "hath dealt bountifully with thee." So the psalmist is preaching to himself. He's saying to himself, "Hey, soul, you need to return back to your rest. You need to refocus on your God. For the Lord, you know the gracious one? The righteous one? The merciful one? That God, your God has dealt bountifully with thee." And we lose our tranquility in the Lord when our view of God is distorted. And we also lose our tranquility in the Lord when we fail to stand back and consider all that God has done for us. And here the psalmist preaches to himself, and he said, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with" who? "With thee." You. Yes, you. Rejoice in what God has done for you, my friend. If you and I are to have that rest restored and enjoy once again that sense of being with our Lord by the still waters, so to speak, as the psalmist makes reference to in Psalm 23, we must refocus on how big our God is. We need to refocus on the greatness of our God, but also we need to rejoice in what God has done. The Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. God has done above and beyond that which we might ask or think. And then the psalmist goes on and he talks about some of the wonderful things that God has done for him. Look at verse number 6. "The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low. He helped me." He helped me. Rejoices what God has done for him, that, hey, He helped me. God has helped me in the past. But also look at verse number 8. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. The psalmist rejoices in what God has done for him. God, you've helped me. And how has God helped this individual? For thou hast delivered my soul from death. God, you've spared my life. You have spared my life, O God. Have you been given a second or third chance? I think many of us can testify of that very fact. By the means of health, restored health, or where you sense that God has protected you from a very serious car accident, or some potential tragedy, you can cry out with the psalmist and say, Lord, thou hast delivered my soul from death. Many of us can testify, many of us can give examples of how God has spared your life. And maybe you and I need to just take a moment and ask God, Lord, restore that rest to my soul. Help me to think about the fact that you've helped me and you have even spared my life. Look at verse number 8, he also goes on to say, you've not only delivered my soul from death, but also mine eyes from tears. God, you've spared me from being overcome with sorrow, hopelessness. In Revelation 21:4, the Bible teaches us that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. God, you've helped me. You've spared my life. You've spared me from being overcome with sorrow. And beloved, there are people everywhere, all around us, that are overcome with sorrow, are they not? To the point of helplessness. But our hope is in God. And in God, there can be hope because we serve the God of hope. And the psalmist said, Lord, return unto thy rest, O my soul. You are a great God. You are a gracious God. You are a righteous God. You are a merciful God. God, you've helped me. You've spared my life. You've spared me from being overcome with sorrow. But also look at verse 8. God, you've delivered me from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. God, you've helped me. You've spared me from falling away. The psalmist acknowledges that God has preserved him from becoming a casualty. A casualty of his circumstances in the past. God has preserved him. Oh God, you've kept my feet from falling. See, the psalmist rejoices in what God has done for him. Take a moment and consider what God has done for you. Please, beloved. Take a moment, consider what God has done for you. Take a moment and consider the greatness of our God. And that could very well be where you'll turn that corner and have that rest restored in your soul. When you focus upon the greatness of God and what the great God has done for you and I. Oh, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. So the psalmist refocuses upon the greatness of God. The psalmist rejoices in what God has done for him. And note what this leads to in verse 9 and following. He reignites his walk with God. His walk with God is reignited. Look at this. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Boy, haven't we done the same? Gotten very emotive and misjudged and lost faith in humanity. Seems like just about every week I lose faith in humanity. Because my faith needs to be in God. Your faith needs to be in God. Because man will always let us down. And the psalmist said, oh, I'm going to walk with God now, but Lord, I must confess that I felt like everybody's a liar. I can't trust anybody. Lost complete faith in humanity. I can empathize with him. I think you can as well. But my point is this. He said to his soul, return to thy rest, O soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. See, a refocus on the greatness of God. A rejoicing in what God has done. Just stop for a moment and consider what God has done for you. And that ought to reignite our walk with God. In the midst of his difficulties and stumblings, the psalmist comes out with these emotional outbursts. And yet he understood that he needed to rest, had that rest restored in his soul by refocusing upon his God and rejoicing in what God has done. But also the psalmist realized that I need to reignite my walk with God. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That's where you'll have your rest restored. It's in that personal walk with God. And I think so often we get overcome with the difficulties of life that we fail to do which is foundational and that which is practical and that which leads to a rest and a peace that passes all understanding. It's you and I as the people of God spending time daily with God. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Genesis 17:1, and when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, I am Almighty God, walk before me. Walk before me. That's what God said to Abraham at the age of 99. This is Abraham, a wonderful man of God, and yet God said to him, don't you lose sight of the fact that you need to walk before me. I am the Almighty God. You walk with your God. And beloved, this evening, do you want to have that rest restored? Refocus on the greatness of your God. Rejoice in what God has done for you and reignite your personal walk with God. Don't lose sight of the importance of spending time daily reading the precious Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And spending time daily reading the Word of God. Reignite your walk with God. See, our personal walk with God in reading the Scriptures and prayer is an acknowledgement of God in our lives, but also it's a means of rest, of resting in His grace, resting in His power. So this man of God here, he preaches to himself, return unto thy rest, O my soul, the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. God has helped me. God has delivered me from death. God has delivered me from being overcome with much sorrow. God has kept me from falling. Therefore I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Look at verse number 12. So from this reigniting of his walk with God, he determines, I'm going to walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Note what he cries out in verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What shall I render? How can I move forward? What can I give to my God? What can I return to my God? God who is gracious to me. God who is righteous. God who is merciful. God who has spared my life. God who has helped me to not be overcome with sorrow. God who has helped me from falling and becoming a permanent casualty. What can I render unto my God? Yes, I'll walk before Him. I'll commune with God. But what can I render unto the Lord? Note this, for all His benefits toward me. So how can I pay back my God, so to speak? What can I give back to God for all that He has given to me? And maybe, beloved, if we would just take a moment to determine to not only refocus on the greatness of our God and rejoice in what God has done for us and reignite that walk with God, and maybe if we would just determine, I'm going to press forward, I'm going to take my eyes off myself, and I'm going to press forward, and I'm going to give God that which He deserves. I'm going to render unto the Lord that which He deserves. And the psalmist said, what shall I render unto the Lord? What shall I give to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? See, we need to move forward. And I think so often we lose that rest in the Lord because we're not moving forward. We become stagnant. We're overcome with unbelief. And our eyes upon our circumstances. And we're not moving forward for the Lord. And with that stagnation comes the disappearing of rest. So the psalmist rightfully said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? Then note then verse number 13. How can I press forward for the Lord? How can you and I press forward for the Lord and enjoy that rest once again? Well, note then verse 13. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Beloved, prayer will restore a rest to your soul. You will enjoy greater tranquility and peace in your inner man if you spend time with God in prayer. What shall I render unto the Lord? God wants to hear from us. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Prayer, beloved. Rest comes in prayer. We can pray because we have salvation. I will take the cup of salvation. Because I've experienced God's salvation, I will call upon the name of the Lord. Look at Psalm 116, verses 1 to 4. I love the Lord because He heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me. The pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. My friend, what can we render to the Lord? Prayer. Prayer. Rest comes through prayer. But also note then verse number 14 and verse number 18. I will pay my vows unto the Lord. Now in the presence of His people. And look at verse 18. I will pay my vows unto the Lord. Now in the presence of His people. Same statement twice. What's that referring to? It's referring to recommitment. Recommitment of our lives. See, the Lord Jesus said to Joseph and Mary, I must be about my Father's business. In John 4:34, Jesus said unto them, his disciples, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work, not my will, but thine be done. And how do we move forward and have that joy restored in our soul? We render unto the Lord for all of his benefits towards us. We commit our hearts to prayer. There is rest. And there is rest when you and I are in the center of God's will. And it could well be that some of us here this evening, you have no rest in your soul right now because your heart is out of place. You are outside of the garden. I challenge you, get back into the garden. Get back into the Garden of Eden where God placed you. Commit your life afresh to your God. And the rest will be restored. Mark my words. Look at verse 15. Are you still with me? Look at verse 15. What else? How else do we press forward? What can I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits towards me? Well, I can pray, I can pay my vows, I can recommit my heart to the Lord. Look at verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Note the wording there. Precious. Precious. In the sight of the Lord is what? Death. In God's eyes, death is precious. But what kind of death? The death of his saints. What can I render to the Lord for all of his benefits towards me? Well, we can no longer fear death. See, when you fear death, there is no rest. Did the light just come on? May I remind you that death is not an accident, it is an appointment. Oh, Pastor, don't talk about it. I'm talking about it. Death is not an accident. Oh, I'm struck with cancer. I'm going to die. Wake up, Australia. We're all going to die. It's a point of the man wants to die and then the judgment. What can I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits towards me? We can have the mind of God and understand that death in the sight of God for his people is precious because God the Father is reunited with one of his children, and as far as God's concerned, that's precious. And when you and I go through the valley and shadow of death, it is not sadness, it is reunion for God. And God sees that as precious. And what can we render unto the Lord for all of his benefits towards us? We can say, God, thank God that one day I will die and I will be in your presence and I will be reunited to my heavenly Father. And all of a sudden your heart will be taken over with rest. Amen. Amen. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And some of you constantly struggle with peace and rest in your soul because you fear death. May I remind you, you're appointed unto die. But we need to see it from God's perspective that when a person dies, that's the gateway through which a child of God is reunited with their heavenly Father. And God sees that as precious. So precious, precious, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Rest comes in cleaving to our hope. That to depart from this life as a child of God is to enter the very presence of our God and to be reunited to our Heavenly Father. And God sees that as precious. So let's stop thinking about ourselves and let's think about our God. The God that provided salvation for you and I.
made provision of a home in heaven for you and I, has given us hope. He sees it as precious when he calls one of his children home and said, "My son, my daughter, it's time now. It's time to come home." As far as God's concerned, that's precious. Ooh, get your brain around that. And then the rest will come. Quickly, let's read on. You still with me? Look at verse 16. "O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant, the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds." What can we render unto the Lord? We can render prayer. We can recommit our hearts to Him. We can have a spiritual outlook on death, that it's a reunion. It's precious in the eyes of God. But also we need to remind ourselves that we're servants of God. We're servants who have been delivered from the bondage of sin, and we are now servants of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And note then verse 17, "Therefore I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord." Thanksgiving, beloved. Thanksgiving, being thankful for what God has done for you and I. Are you thankful? Thankfulness will help that rest to be restored. And also note then verse number 19, "Praise in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord." Praise focuses upon who God is. We praise God, we focus on the person of God. Thanksgiving focuses upon what God has done for us. There is rest in knowing God. There is rest in knowing all about our God. Focusing upon that God is gracious and God is righteous and God is merciful and God is loving and God is unchangeable. God is faithful. God is gentle. God is kind. God loves with an everlasting love. Praise and thanksgiving. See, my friend, all of us go through seasons when we don't experience that rest, or we lose that rest. And we need to cry out with the psalmist here in verse number 7, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul." Why? "For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." I'd like to encourage you this evening to talk you back to go ahead and talk your mind back into where it needs to be. Talk your mind, will, and emotions back into where they need to be. Resting in the Lord. Focusing upon our God. Focusing upon what God has done for us. And may that encourage us to walk with God. And then in walking with God, we render unto the Lord for all of His benefits towards us. We pray and we dedicate our lives to Him. We see death from God's perspective. We rejoice that we are servants. We are thankful. And we praise God. Herein lies the key to having our rest restored. "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." And all of God's people said, let's pray.